from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, Night Yun was born in a Cambodian refugee camp in Thailand where her parents fled from the Khmer Rouge. Now, Yun's restaurant, Nyum Bai, in Oakland's Fruitvale District, has been named one of the 10 best new restaurants in the country by Bon Appetit magazine. We talk with Yun about her sudden fame. Then, at 10:30, we want to hear your casual carpool stories. The remarkable informal system of basically hitchhiking has been moving Bay Area commuters since the 70s, and we want to know what your experiences have been or what questions you have about it. So join us after this news. You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, and we're joined now by Chef Night Yun. She's the owner of a Cambodian restaurant in Oakland's Fruitvale District that's getting national attention. It's called Nyum Bai, which was also named one of the 10 best new restaurants in the nation by Bon Appetit magazine. And this week, Night Yun also won a Vilcek Prize, which awards significant contributions to society by immigrants. Welcome to Forum, Night Yun, and congratulations on the prize.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And yes, it awards significant contributions to society by immigrants because you immigrated here when you were 2 years old. You immigrated to Stockton?
Yes. So,
yeah, so tell us what you remember, because I understand you were born in a refugee camp in Thailand.
So my parents fled Cambodia because of the civil war, and then we ended up in the refugee camp in Thailand where I was born.
And what do you remember, if at all, about immigrating here?
I don't remember too much. I was just 2 years old, but there's snippets of stories I would hear from my parents about the struggles and just trying to assimilate when they arrived in the States.
And so your main point of access to Cambodian culture, since you were born in a refugee camp in Thailand and immigrated here so young, was really through food?
Food, the music that my dad played growing up, speaking the language. I mean, even though I grew up in America, in Stockton, we still were very Cambodian. Like, we ate rice with our hands. We sat on the floor. My mom always cooked Cambodian food. We spoke Khmer. We listened to Khmer music. So I didn't know any other way but being Cambodian growing up.
Yes. And yet at the same time, I think you were struck that there were so few Cambodian restaurants in the Bay Area. Maybe outside of Stockton, there are some, but that you found that Thai and Vietnamese food seemed to have much more of an influence here.
Oh, yeah. I was so shocked when I moved out to San Francisco for school. I just was surprised that there's all types of cuisine, but Cambodian food wasn't represented at all. But, you know, I feel like it's been overshadowed by Vietnamese and Thai cuisine.
Yes, overshadowed in the way that you frequently get asked, I understand, if Cambodian food is like Thai and Vietnamese. So what's your response? Can you explain what Cambodian food is and how it's different?
Well, Cambodian food, there's overlapping in ingredients for sure, but Cambodian food is refined, it's complex, it's robust because of the ingredients that we use, it's ancient. So it's much more than, like, is it like Thai or Vietnamese food? So I can say that it stands alone because of, like, the brahok that we use in our cooking, like the fermented fish, along with the kreung, which is a bunch of aromatics pounded together to create a paste. So.
Yes, give us more of a sense of the ingredients you're talking about and also some of your signature dishes.
So the kreung is basically like an herb paste made with lemongrass, galanga, shallots, kefir lime leaf, and garlic, and you smash it into a fine paste, and then that, you use it to make soups, a marinade, or sauté with it. One of my personal favorite dishes at the restaurant is called brahok ti, which is a blend of coconut milk with kreung and the fermented fish. Together, it's this magical dish.
It sounds magical, and maybe some of you, our listeners, have experienced this magical dish, or you've been trying to get into Nyum Bai, because your restaurant has, what, a capacity of some 40 people?
Yeah, it's very tiny. Sorry.
And so you have a line out the door even before it opens?
Yes. Even in the rain, I'm just so surprised how people are waiting in the rain to come eat at the restaurant. I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
Well, if you have had this experience or you'd like to talk with Night Yun, give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also post your questions or comments to her on our website, kqed.org/forum, on Facebook, on Twitter at KQED Forum, or email us at forum@kqed.org. What are some of your favorite dishes? What are some of your questions about how she created Nyeombae? The name of the restaurant, Night Yun, how did you come up with it? What does it mean?
Nyeombae, the literal translation means eat rice, but it's also a phrase that means let's eat. It's something that my mom would always say when my friends would come over. Instead of saying hello, how are you? It's always Nyeombae, Nyeombae. And so she would just like have a feast for my friends.
She sounds a lot like my mom. I know I would have like one guest and then it would be like she was serving 50 people. But there's also a wall in your restaurant that's lined with replicas of Cambodian rock record covers from the 1950s and 60s. Mm-hmm. Tell us what's behind the decision to put that there and to also play music, I think, from that time as well.
Well, Nyeombae is a celebration of the golden era in Cambodia. From the 60s. This is the time when my parents were in their youth, and this was before the Civil War. And so I just wanted to celebrate that and to remind Cambodians that there was once, like, don't forget about this time in Cambodia before the war. And so this is often the time that my parents would talk about and the music that they would listen or play in the house. And I just wanted to celebrate that moment so it's not forgotten.
Did your family, did your parents talk very much about the genocide, about the Civil War?
Not so much. Now, like, I would ask my mom, like, there were stories that she would bring up, but still a difficult thing for her to talk about just because of such a painful memory. But when I do see her at the store, I see her eyes light up a little bit and just, like, listening to the music and looking at the record albums. It's, like, bringing back, like, all these good memories. Even, like, aunts and uncles, when they come to the restaurant, they're like, wow, you did such an amazing job. It's like, this reminds me of my youth, like before the war.
And I think actually we have a little bit of music from the 1950s or 60s. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure when it was, but it's something that you have played at your restaurant. It's from sort of this golden era that you talk about. And I'm being told that we actually need to search for that. So we'll hope to get that later on during this segment. But I think it's not uncommon for parents who have gone through some kind of a traumatic major event. I remember hearing this a lot, too, with children of survivors of the Japanese internment camps, that they just don't really want to talk about it with their kids, but then there becomes a moment later where they feel more capable of sharing it. Do you think opening your restaurant, developing this interest in Cambodian food and wanting to make it your life's work to popularize it here has been that door to some degree?
Yes. I think at this point, my mom has no choice but to share the stories, even though I see that she's having, like, she would still get really teary-eyed talking about certain things. But I told her this is a way for me to understand her and for her to also start healing and to get over, not to get over, but to just to kind of let go of a painful memory that she's been holding on to.
You went to school initially, nursing school is my understanding.
Yes.
So how did you make that transition from, you know, nursing school to opening a restaurant or knowing that you wanted to open a restaurant?
Well, this might not sound as good, but I was taking the vitals of a patient and then I just realized I didn't really care about him whatsoever.
About the patient you
about
were taking
the patient. The and so at that moment, I was like, why am I even doing this? And that same day, actually, I called my mom and told her I'm just dropping out of nursing school. And a week later, I was looking for flights to go to Cambodia just because I was so compelled to just to visit, you know, the country.
Was that your first trip?
Yes.
It was. Uh-huh. So you had this epiphany that you didn't want to be in nursing school anymore, and you basically booked a ticket and went straight to Cambodia.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect.
What was it like to go there?
Oh, my gosh. It was a still, like, the smell, the sound, the people and everything. Till today, it's like, when I think about it, I still have goosebumps. They were just so welcoming, and the people were just so friendly, and the food that I grew up eating, and it was, like, everywhere, and the language I grew up speaking, it was, like, all around me. So it was just, I mean, I was hooked. I had to go back.
Well, and you're actually answering this listener, Sid's question about what it was like to go back. Sid is also wondering if you'd been back to Thailand at all and if what that was like.
I went to Thailand for a vacation, but that was it. Yeah.
And you have been back several times since then. So it wasn't like on your very first trip you knew that you wanted to share Cambodian food with the rest of the world. What was the moment and on what trip did you realize that this was it?
I think it was my third trip back. I was in a noodle stall in Phnom Penh. I was eating a bowl of kathio, and then it was another epiphany. It just came to me. It's like, why not start my own Cambodian food business? I love to eat. Cambodia food needs to be represented, and I just had to do it.
Because what do you think are people's assumptions about both Cambodia and Cambodian and the food?
I think people don't know too much about it. I mean, besides the civil war, I think.
Or Angkor Wat.
Angkor Wat. I think besides the culture, the golden era, not too many people know about Cambodian cuisine just because it hasn't been represented. If you go to a Cambodian restaurant now, it's like mixed in with Thai or even Chinese food. So it's like, what really is Cambodian food?
Well, this listener writes, I'd like to know what specific flavors, textures, and combinations in her style of Cambodian cuisine most sharply differ from those in, say, Viet Lao or Thai and Shan foods, and which are its best borrowings from those cuisines?
Borrowing, I'm not too sure, but texture, we love raw veggies. There's a lot of crunch with, like, fermented fish. We love dips, so any type of raw veggies with smoked fish is different than Laos and Vietnamese and even Thai food. But we, like I said before, we use a lot of fermented fish, which is just such a unique flavor that I can't even really identify it. But when you mix it with meat and saute it, it just becomes like such a like an umami or just uniquely, I can't even describe it.
No, you're doing a good job, actually. And I'm being told, too, just so that we can continue the feel of what your restaurant is probably like, that we have the music here.
Oh, nice. Oh, this is great.
Can you tell us what we're listening to?
So this is Bandon. It's a dance that you go, that you, it's a dance song. And then you kind of, I don't know. Yeah. It's a dance movement that you go, that you make when you hear the word agogo. So this is the music that I listened, like my dad was playing and like growing up while we were cleaning the house or whatnot. So,
and is this, has your restaurant also been kind of a hub for other young Cambodian Americans to come and listen to this time and kind of reconnect?
It is, really. It's really been amazing meeting other Cambodians from, like, in the first, second generation, how they're inspired to either reconnect or learn more about their culture or to do a collaboration with us with art and music and things like that. So it's been amazing.
You mean as a result of having your restaurant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've got letters saying that, you know, they're inspired to cook Cambodian food, to become a Cambodian chef. And so it's been amazing.
And, you know, that last question that we got from our listener about borrowings from other cultures, one of the things that I find interesting about your menu is that I think you specifically try to stick to Cambodian dishes specifically, as opposed to what I think often restaurateurs do, especially immigrant restaurateurs. They try to create something that will be pleasing to a general palate. And so they'll borrow from, you know, other cuisines that people know and are familiar with. But it sounds like you've made the deliberate and conscious decision not to do that.
Yeah, that's correct. In the beginning, it was hard to come up with the menu just because, I mean, to be honest, I was afraid. It's like, well, people like this food. But then at the same time, like, well, this is what Cambodian food is. This is the food I grew up eating. And everything that's on the menu is like all my favorite dishes. Like when I still cook the dishes now, it's like, oh, it's just so delicious. It's like food that I still crave, even though I smell it and I cook it all the time. So
it's very personal, and it's what you yourself like. And,
oh, yeah.
And know you like that that forms this restaurant.
Oh, yeah. I love it so much. I'm like salivating right now.
Me too. Well, let's hear next from Hugh in Oakland. Hi, Hugh.
Hi. I first heard about the restaurant from an East Bay Express article when you all first opened in the Emeryville Food Court. And I just want to thank you. It's for your basic soup, which is an extremely rich broth. At your new location, it's easier to get into in lunch, mm-hmm. easier for me, too. And I wanted to encourage listeners, the Southeast Asian noodle choice in the East Bay, both in Oakland and San Leandro, is very rich in choices. And I hope Cambodian and Laotian keeps coming up. But to encourage guests to look beyond the pho and the pho, there's some good curry noodle soups, some good satay noodle soups through the East Bay. So thank you to your guest for the good work, and hope to hear more from her.
Thank you.
Well, Hugh, thanks for that. I don't know if you have anything else you wanted to say about what he was talking about in terms of just the richness, the flavors, the offerings.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, this is just the food I grew up eating, really. It's like recipes that I learned from my mom and just kind of made it my own. But thank you.
And he mentioned that he had first encountered your food when you had a site in Emeryville. This started, your little restaurant, basically, Nyumbai, started as a pop-up in the Mission in San Francisco initially. Is that right? That was when in...
I want to say back in 2014, Yambai started out as a pop-up. We did pop-up at Mission Pie, Noodle Maple Social Collaboration with the help of La Casina, the nonprofit organization in the Mission. They've helped me get location to do my pop-ups. And then they also had the opportunity to reach out to the public market. And that's where I had my official pop-up in the public market in Emeryville.
And talk a little bit about La Cocina, because not everybody is familiar with this incubator.
Mm-hmm. Well, La Cocina is a group of angels, really. It's a nonprofit organization in the Mission San Francisco, where their mission is to help low-income immigrants, women, start their business. And through workshops, through resources that they have, either through graphic design or learning how to use scaling up recipes and things like that.
And so how did you had to apply and be accepted into their program?
Yes, it's very competitive.
So what is the process like to try to get chosen?
So it's a long application process. You have to go through several interviews, and I think you have to prepare a meal for the staff. And then if you have like a vital business model, then... that's part of the process.
And so once they've chosen you, what do you have access to? And then how do they support you to the point of being able to, I mean, is the idea to support you to the point of being able to open your own restaurant?
They're still supporting me now that I'm a graduate of La Cocina. But in the beginning, it's like if you need help really like starting a business plan, they have that resources, learning how to use a commercial kitchen, registering your business license or any of that, like getting your staff on payroll, anything that you need to learn about starting your business.
So what is next for you and for Nyumbai? I mean, what are you thinking in terms of expanding since you have this line out the door before your door is even open? Or are you thinking that you just want to keep it this site? What are some of the things that you're playing with in terms of ideas for the future?
My plan is just to probably get 2 days off in the week for now. But really, we talked about expanding, but just because this place that we have right now is just so special, we want to be able to take care of the people that do come and make sure that we're able to do everything correctly first before we expand. So,
so expansion, but not in the immediate future. But you have had such a you've had so much recognition for your restaurant. You've described this newfound fame as kind of surreal. Can you talk a little bit about the experience of getting all of this recognition and also now, like what kinds of doors it's opening for you?
Well, I get to be here in Forum, which is a dream. I've just been so busy. I haven't had the time to reflect. But when people do come and tell me, wow, what you're doing is amazing, it's like that right there just makes me feel like, oh, gosh, I'm doing the right thing. So, but I mean, it's been overwhelming. It's like every day, like people are like, wow, it's like what you're doing is amazing. I can't believe it. I'm like, I can't believe it either. So, so that's why I think I need like a few days just to like reflect and like really sink, have it all sink in. So
yes, because the Vilcek Prize as well, it comes with a $50,000 cash prize as well. And so this is free for you to kind of do what you will with it and to increase your contribution to the community mm-hmm. in some way or another. But that's also a lot of pressure, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I won the Vilcek Prize and I still can't believe it. I mean, definitely putting something into the community for sure. So,
and if you had to say what your goal is for the impact that the restaurant can have, what would you say it is?
It's a big question. Well, the goal has always been to expose Cambodian food through its culture and its music, but I also hope that it inspire other Cambodians to learn more about their culture, or to connect, to learn, or to ask their parents what they went through in the genocide, because there's still a lot of like younger Cambodians that still didn't know that the genocide happened. And so I feel like in order to learn about who you are, you have to like learn where you're from.
Is food political for you in some ways? Do you see it as having that role?
I guess so. So it's like, I mean, right now I'm using food as a way to bring up conversations that can only happen like during dinner, because it's like an easy segue to like bring up heavy topics or sensitive topics. Like, you know, for example, with my mom, it's like, when did you learn how to cook this dish? Or like, what did they serve? Like, what did you eat during the, you know, in the camp? So I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. It creates sort of the foundation to be able to speak mm-hmm. freely and safely about these kinds of things. And also with immigration so much of a topic in the news these days.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And the contribution of immigrants. Interestingly, you're in a predominantly Mexican neighborhood in the Fruitvale. Mm-hmm. Is that changing? Is the district changing? Are there concerns about it changing too rapidly? How do you see yourself as part of all of that?
I don't want to be part of the change. I want to be part of Fruitvale. I think that's why I moved there, because there is still a big Mexican Latin community, and before it changes too soon, it's like I want to say I'm like there before it becomes too, I don't know, too different than what it is now.
Well, we're glad you're there. Nyum Bai is your restaurant. Night Yun, she is the chef and owner, and she won a Vilcek Prize this week, which awards significant contributions to society by immigrants, and her restaurant was voted one of the 10 best new restaurants in the country by Bon Appetit. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us for another half hour of Forum, this time on Casual Carpool. I'm Mina Kim.